This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host, and today we will continue the series that we've begun on the Ten Commandments. Pastor Phipps will talk about commandment number 3 today. But just before that, here is some very special music.
Anybody can tell you what a world this would be if we learn to love each other. I know we would see it. Sharing what's in our hearts, we learn to live together through the stormy weather. No matter how hard we try, we gotta keep believing we can make a better world. Down inside your heart and show you really care. Someone may find in you hope for their tomorrow. All you did was smile, and you will only feel that God put you there.
Listening to The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast, and we just heard music by Wintley Phipps entitled Fill the World with Love, a song that we don't get a chance to hear much because we use it as our theme song, but today we heard the whole thing. Now we will get right to the message for today, the title Something About That Name, talking about commandment number 3 today. Here's Pastor Phipps.
As you know, I've been preaching a series on the 10 Commandments. And we are at the, all right, we are which commandment? The third commandment. And I entitled this message, Something About That Name. If you've got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Chapter 20. verse 7 of chapter 20. The third commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The prophet Moses was leading his flock one day beneath the desert sun. When he turned his face aside to behold a strange and mysterious sight, before him stood a common bush, a bush consumed by a mysterious fire. Moses had seen bush fires before. He was familiar with the power of the sun to ignite the dry bushes that dotted the landscape. But Moses had never seen a fire like this before. This bush just kept on burning without being burnt up. It was engulfed by a fire that refused to go out. But what was really odd and peculiar was that the branches and leaves were ablaze, but there was no smoke, no charring, no blistering. As Moses drew closer to see this sight, a voice spoke to him out of the burning bush. It was a voice deep and commanding. It was a voice clear and compelling. A voice so wonderful and majestic, it could not be denied. And as he drew near, the voice spoke to him, saying, Moses, take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. I've seen their affliction and misery. Moses, I will send you to Pharaoh, and you shall bring the people out of their long years of bondage. Moses said unto the Lord, Lord, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Moses was trying to get a deferment. Who am I that I should speak for thee? I'm not the man for this job. I'm not the one to shoulder this burden. I'm a man with a sluggish and heavy tongue. I've never been eloquent. Prolific speech is not my gift. My diction is faulty. Lord, I'm not the one to speak for you. The Lord said to Moses, and you can find it in Exodus 4, verse 11, the Lord said unto him, who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? Now therefore, go, and I will be with thee. I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. Moses, when you stand before Pharaoh, you will not be alone, for I, the Lord, shall be with you. But Lord, said Moses, suppose they ask me, who sent you? What shall I tell them? What name shall I give them? The Lord said to Moses, when they ask you who sent you, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent you. What a mystery this is to the believer, that God, when asked by a prophet, his own name, answered, I am. You want to know my name? I am. Now, as I dug deeply for this message, I saw that I am is the Hebrew word haya. It is from the verb to be. It is also translated as Yahweh. I am. Here God is saying, I have a name no one else can claim. For no one else can say, I am. Yahweh, it means no one has ever preceded me, and no one will ever come after me. No one can say that. Anybody you meet, if they're here now, they won't be here forever. My name is Yahweh, saith the God of heaven. And it means before the planets were born, I am. You're not listening to me today. Before the world was created, I am. My name is Yahweh. I have no past. I live in the present. Your future is my present. How can you not serve a God like that? Here God is saying to Moses, my name means there is nothing before me and there is nothing after me. My name means before me there was nothing that has ever been and that there is no one after me. My name means there is no other in the universe like me, Yahweh. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Woo. Can you imagine what it's like for, how can I say this, Lord? For eternity to be your cloak. For that to be your robe. To the Jews, this name Yahweh, or as we know it today, Jehovah. It was so holy, it was a name that no Hebrew person would even dare to say out loud. Whenever they read the scripture, a Hebrew citizen would substitute Elohim for Yahweh. Are you with me today? You couldn't even say Yahweh. So they substituted Elohim or Adonai for Yahweh or Jehovah. I heard of a rabbi who one day, his students were reading the scriptures out loud, and one of the rules of his class was that when you came to the name of God, you were not to pronounce that name that was written in the text. You were to change the name to Adonai. By the way, Adonai is Hebrew for Lord. That's why we call our God Lord. That's the tradition. We don't call him Yahweh because back then you dared not even use. Are you with me? That is why throughout the scriptures you hear the phrase, the name of the Lord. And you rarely see printed in the Bible the name of the Lord. You see written the name of the Lord, but you very rarely see the name of the Lord, Yahweh or Jehovah, printed. As a matter of fact, Jehovah is only printed in the Bible 4 times. 4 times. Exodus 6:3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. That's Exodus 6:3. Psalms 83:18, that men may know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. And then the last time, Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Those are the only times in all of the scriptures that the name of the Lord is printed. Woo. Well, this one day, one of the rabbi's students inadvertently pronounced the name of God. And upon hearing it, the rabbi put his hand over his ears and ran out of the classroom. No one saw him for 3 days. When he finally came back, they found out that he ran out of the classroom because he considered himself so unworthy of hearing the name of God. He spent 3 days in prayer asking for forgiveness. Church, God's third commandment does not say that we are not to say the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Elijah said, "Call ye on the name of your gods," remember when he was at Carmel, "and I will call on the name of the Lord." In Joel, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord," Acts 2:21, "it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God never said we are not to call his name. His command to us in the third commandment is that we are not to take his name in vain. God says he will not hold us guiltless. By the way, this is the only one of the Ten Commandments with a warning in it. Some of the commandments have promise, but this one has a warning. God said, "If you take my name in vain, I will deal with you." Now, the Jews spelt Yahweh YHWH, but they wouldn't use it verbally. Instead, they would refer to him when they spoke as Hashem, which literally means the name. Now, to give us a better picture of who God is, the name Jehovah is used throughout the Bible as a compound with other names attached to it. So, and that was so we could understand the different aspects of who God is and his character, his personality. Jehovah Hosinu means Jehovah our maker. Abraham, remember, he said Jehovah Jireh. Said, "The Lord will provide." And Jehovah Rapha, it means, "I am the Lord who heals you." Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner, his banner over us is love. Jehovah Makadesh, it means that Jehovah sanctifies you. God told Moses, "Say to the Israelites," and you'll find this in Exodus 31, verse 13, "You must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." That's Jehovah Makadesh. I am the God who sanctifies you. Jehovah Elohika, Jehovah your God. And there are others. Jehovah Shalom means Jehovah sends peace. Somebody's home needs Jehovah Shalom today. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what Jehovah Rohi means. And I shall not want. I will give thanks unto the Lord. Jehovah Shammah. Oh, by the way, you can find that in Ezekiel. Why don't you turn there? Ezekiel 48, verse 35. Oh, thank God for his holy word. I said, thank God for his holy word. This word would be a boring place without the word of God. How many of you believe that today? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. Look at verse 34 at the west side. 4,500 with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was around about 18,000 measures. And the name, are you with me? The name of the city from that day shall be. Shall be what? And in the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Shammah. In other words, they're going to call the city, the Lord is here. Now, the many names for God are there because it is impossible for us to capture the many sides of God. No one name of God can ever fully express his glory. And we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 111:9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverent is his name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Brothers and sisters, here God is warning us. When you call the name of God, make sure you use the right tone. How we use his name tells him whether we really honor him and reverence him. You know, it's nice when people care enough to take the time to say your name with love and affection. My mother had many ways of saying my name. Sometimes if it came from the top down, went Wentley, that meant one thing. Wentley, that was something else. In this commandment, brothers and sisters, the King of Kings tells us that he is offended when we don't care enough to take the time to speak his name with reverence. Names are important. Even in our day, you don't sign your check with a number. You sign your check with your name. Sign your name on a deed, it buys you a house. Even money can be borrowed on the strength of a name. Some names have unusual power because of the person who stands behind that name. Some years ago, my friend Billy Graham invited me to accompany him on his first crusade in Moscow, in Russia. The Iron Curtain had just opened up. Bev Shea couldn't make it. And so I was honored to be asked to go. Well, while I was there, one day I caught a taxi. It was my last day there. And I went down to see the Moscow Circus. I didn't have a ticket, and to my dismay, there were no tickets to be found. The problem was that there were more tickets sold than there were seats. So standing around were scores of people who had tickets for that night's performance, but there were no seats. Well, I knew that was my last night in Russia, and I wanted to see the circus, and you know your pastor. Well, I think you know your pastor. I wanted to find a way. So I walked around to the back of the stage entrance, and though I couldn't speak Russian, I was able to make it clear that I wanted to see the manager. So just imagine this black man standing in the doorway in the middle of Moscow asking in English of Russian people to see the manager. It was a sight. After some time, a kind man came and I began to tell him as best as I could that this was my last night in Moscow and I wanted to see the circus. And he was nice, but he wasn't moving, wasn't budging. And then I said, I was here to sing for the Billy Graham Crusade. He said, oh, Billy Graham. Before I knew what was happening, I was being escorted to a posh box, a private box. I was given the best seat. Are you listening to me? the best seat in the house. And all night long, I sat there watching the circus, and all night long, they were offering me wine and vodka. I didn't drink any, don't worry about it. But I enjoyed the circus that day. I came here to tell you there's still power in a name. One day a man was going overseas and he gave to his friend the power of attorney, and the friend had the privilege of acting in his behalf. Well, this so-called friend, on the power of his friend's name, sold his own friend's house, borrowed large sums of money, and no one could stop him because he was doing it in the power and authority given to him by that name. Well, if names of men provide such power,
hallelujah.
If names of men give you such authority, by the power of the name of God, you can do so much. By the power of his name, God led his people out of the land of Egypt. By the power of his name, he fed them in the wilderness. By the power of his name, he led them to the promised land. And that's why in John 14:12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And then he says in verse 13 of John 14, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do."
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. Unfortunately, we can't conclude it today, but we will conclude this message in the next broadcast. So stay tuned for that. However, in the meantime, if you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, something about that name, part one, here's what you need to do. Call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. Again, the Seabrook Church, 301-577-6342. And you want to refer today to program number 332, which will allow you to access the title, Something About That Name, Part 1. You may also email a request to the Seabrook Church for an audio copy. The email address is seabrookav@yahoo.com. We're so appreciative to the Seabrook Church for sponsoring this program, and that's where you can get audio copies. Well, that brings us to the end of our program for today. I hope that you will continue to be blessed. I hope that you'll join us again for another program, and until you can do that, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." My name is Adrian Weston Jr., saying so long for now.
Give what's in your heart.